on, go tell somebody about the love of God. Go tell somebody that Jesus loved them in spite of themselves. Go tell somebody that he gave his life that we might live. Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but one day I came to the Lord just as I was. I was wearied, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place. Oh, he has made me glad. Ain't God all right? Sometime I'm up and sometime I'm down, but that's all right. He's right by my side. Ain't God all right? I got goodness on my right side. I got mercy on my left side. I got God all around. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside. I got Jesus out in front. Ain't God all right? Do you know him now? Don't fool me now. If you know he's all right, yes, let me hear you. Say yes. God saved each of us individually to go tell somebody about it. Don't be sitting around waiting till the church go nowhere. You the church. When you leave out of here, instead of talking about somebody and gossiping, you ought to tell somebody about Jesus. When you leave out of here, instead of looking down on folk because they didn't come to church, you ought to tell them a little bit about Jesus. If he saved you, he can save somebody else. If you was a wretch and he saved you and you was a wretch, he can save another wretch. Oh, Lord, I tell you the truth. What's the use of coming to church? What's the use of coming to Bible study? What's the use of learning the word? We just learn it so we can go back home and hold it to ourselves? No, Jesus wants us to go tell somebody. Go tell it on the mountain. Oh, Lord. I'm trying to hush. Over the hills and everywhere I go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, yeah. Hear me out. Oh, yeah. Tell everywhere. At this time, we extend the invitation. There may be somebody who would like to get on board. You may come by letter, candidate for baptism. I know everybody in here is supposed to be members, but maybe you still are not saved. I don't know. Only you know. But however, even if you're saved, sometime we may stand in need of prayer, whatever the case may be. We extend the invitation to you. Would that be one? Come on the lost side. If you don't remember anything that I preach, just remember this one thing. God only saved you to go tell somebody else. Don't be sitting around waiting. I'm waiting till the pastor get ready, the church go out. You going out. When you walk out that door, and some of us got lost folk right in our house, right in our family, tell them. Now, it might not, you can't make them go, but at least you can tell them and be a good example. And then you can pray for them. Because when they first told you, you probably, when people was trying to tell me, I didn't want to listen at first. But look what happened. Eventually the Lord got to me. The Holy Spirit convicted me and let me know that I needed the Lord. I thank God for a young lady. That's good, brother. I thank God for a little young lady. I call her Pumpkin. Amen. Now, this young lady here, I'm going to show you something. This young lady, Lord have mercy, wanted to be a part of the choir so much, and she's given herself so much. You know, she came all the way from Natchitoches to come to practice. And this is a young lady. What an example. Some young folk, when they get away, go to college, they don't even want to pay it by the church. And here she comes all the way from Natchitoches just to be in practice so she can sing. Let's continue to pray for her, that the Lord continue to bless her, that the Lord continue to keep her, is our prayer. Now, that's a good example right there for a lot of young people. Amen. It's some folk live right around the corner and don't never come to cry with her. It's nobody else with her. Some just do come to church. Are you with me? But she is a young lady. Good example. We got a lot of good examples from the old to the young. We have another lady drive all the way from the river. Some people live across the block and won't come. I'm talking about Sister Mazique. Thank God for her presence.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
The book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We're not going to keep you too long. Some of you have been watching with me all morning. Thank God for all these preachers. They make the work so easy. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, can you watch with me? And thank God for people that can watch with you. My Lord. The book is Genesis chapter 2, verse number 2. Verse number 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible said, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Father, we thank you for the word. Holy Spirit, help us to explain it. Help us to receive and comprehend what heaven is trying to tell us today. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless your people. Give us strength to preach. Help us not just to be hearers alone, but doers of your word. Lord, I pray for miracles, signs and wonders. I pray for souls in the kingdom. I thank you for increase this morning. We believe in God for more. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, The Value of Your Soul. How much does your soul worth? The value of your soul. The purpose of this message is to enable all of us to have self-discovery of who we are in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to focus on who you really are. Who am I in Christ? Who are you in Christ? It is very important that all of us understand who we are in Christ. Think about it. If you don't know who you are, how can I know you? So self-discovery is very important. In the text that was just read to your hearing, the story was told of how God created heaven and earth. And if you remember, when he got to mankind, he didn't just speak man into life. The Bible says he actually scooped down and make man out of the clay, out of the dirt of the earth. I don't know about you, that makes me feel special. I said to my congregation earlier this morning, if you're beautiful, if you're handsome, if you're good looking, and folks begin to roll their eyes at you, just ignore them. Thank God, because whatever you got, God gave it to you. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
The Bible said God scooped down and literally formed man out of dust. And then the second thing God did, the Bible said he breathed unto man. And man became a living soul. So my brothers and my sisters, you have a soul. And that soul lives in a body. In other words, your body is not really the real deal. Your body basically is the house you live in. So your body is like the apartment. Your soul is the tenant. Are you still here this morning? So your soul is very important. You might say, well, I've never seen it. Well, the Bible gave you a picture of what your soul looked like. The Bible said you are made in the image of God. That also tells you what God looked like. Many people are saying, well, I don't know if I get to heaven, does God look like a big stone, a big rock, a big mountain? Well, he told you. He said you are made in his image. You are made in his likeness. So you ought to thank God. That's why the angel said, what is man that you are so mindful of him? And I like the fact that the way God did it is to breathe into you and I. It's like playing one of those trumpets or saxophone. I shared with my congregation this morning, I bought a brand new saxophone. And my intention was just to secretly be practicing. And then show up one day and just blow everybody's mind. Because they don't think Kunte can do stuff like that. But in order for that saxophone to blow, I got to breathe. I got to blow into that. If not, I will have no sound coming out. And if you don't believe that I can play the saxophone, think of Kenny G. I feel it already. That brother can play the machine. He can use that saxophone to express. And you are sitting down there listening to Kenny G and say, But that's exactly what God was doing when he made you and I. When he breathed into us, he was expressing what the Bible called the Ruach of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to mention to you, just like God expressed himself, by breathing and blowing it into you, God expects you and I to express yourself in your world. It's a tragic thing to go through life and you pass through this valley of Baca and you never make your footprint. You and I, we have the opportunity to make a difference in our world. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to suggest to you, you don't just have a soul. You are a soul. There's a difference between just having something and it's really you. The real you is the soul that lives in the apartment called flesh. Knowing who you are is very, very important. If you know who you are, it will help you in your own personal growth. If you know who you are, it will help you in your spiritual growth. If you know who you are, it will help you to set boundaries. Knowing who you are lets you know what you can or cannot do. It don't matter how much enticement comes, because of who you are, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Are you still here? Ladies and gentlemen, knowing who you are will help you to be true to yourself. It will help you to maximize the moment, because you stay focused, you know who you are. Your soul, ladies and gentlemen, carries the blueprint of your DNA. If you really want to know you, check with your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I'm concerned about is that many of us, we often ignore our soul. Each of us must recognize we are more than just this mere flesh, this mere body. Because if you ignore your soul, if you don't take care of your soul, you have no life. Ladies and gentlemen, when you lose your body, you can still live beyond your body. But if you lose your soul, you have lost everything. Are you still here? The problem, my brothers and my sisters, is that we spend more time dressing up our body, feeding our body, than we ever do for our soul. But I thank God for the scientists. In their research, they kind of find out that this thing called the body that we love so dearly don't worth much. The scientists discovered that human body worth very little. They said we have about 10 grams of water. That means a lot of our body is full of water. They said we have a lot of fat in our body. They could even use those fat in our body to make soap. They said we have a lot of carbon in our body. They could use those carbon to make lead pencils. They also discovered, scientists, that we have phosphorus, and they can use matches that you can set fire in our body. They also discovered that we have magnesium, and with those we can make salt. They discovered that we even have ions in our body, that you can literally make nails. They discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that we have lime that we can whitewash chicken coops. They also discovered we have so much salt in our body. Many of you don't know that we have a lot of salt that they can make dog fleas from. Talking about the content, the elements of our body. And we have sugar in our body. Some of us have a lot of sugar in our body. that you can literally make sugar cube. Don't look at your neighbor. But what the scientists are saying is that if you decompose all these elements in a body, the average human body is worth $3.07. It don't matter what your size, don't matter what your complexion, at the end of the day, the value of your body composition is worth $3.07. Oh, think about all the trouble, all the expense that we go through just to make $3.07 worth of dust. Feel happy. Many of us will buy $100,000 home, $200,000 home, $500,000 home, so that just to house a $3.07 dust. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go on the parking lot right now, you'll be amazed all kinds of cars and automobiles that you see there. Some of you drive $10,000 worth of automobile, $20,000, $40,000. Some of you have $80,000, $90,000 worth of automobile just to drive around $3.07 dust. Now, don't blame this science. We got our priorities so mixed up. And that is why we need to pay attention to heaven. Of what good you buy a $100 hat and put in a 5-cent head? So at some point, we need to call our attention back to the real thing. And the real thing, ladies and gentlemen, is not your body. The real deal is your soul. Many of us, we forget about that and we act as if our body is here to stay forever. If the truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how much education you got. Doesn't matter how many degrees you got. Doesn't matter how many diplomas, how many sheepskin you got on your wall. You are nothing but a smart-looking dust. I get tickled sometimes in my pastoral leadership how one pile of dirt will walk around acting as if it's better than another pile of dirt. And they all dirt. Sometimes I see all kinds of drama in the body of Christ, how one pile of dirt would not even talk to another pile of dirt or even shake hands with another pile of dirt, and everybody ain't worth no more than $3.07. What am I trying to tell you? My brothers and my sisters, you can put on lipsticks. You can wear all the makeup. You can put gold on every tooth in your mouth. You can wear a big wig or wear $3,000 worth of suit. You can wear a snake shoe, an alligator shoe, a lizard shoe. At the end of the day, you ain't nothing but a pile of dirt. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to realize that at the end of the day, all of those will go to the ground. Am I right about it? Not only will it go to the ground, ladies and gentlemen, it will be eaten up by worms. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 20 says, from the dust you and I came. And guess where we're returning to? back to the dust. So your soul, ladies and gentlemen, is the real deal. That's why I say to you over and over again, if you fail to nurture your soul, you have really failed big time in life. I want you to know that there's a huge difference between your body and your soul. Just like you can literally look at your body, your soul is a walking spirit. Just like I'm standing before you, your soul is standing within you. And you need to know there's a huge difference between your body and your soul. Because your body, after a while, will drop dead. But your soul will live forever. 1,000 years from now, your soul will still be alive and well. That is why we ought to be paying attention to the soul. Not so much of just neglecting our soul. I know many of you are blessed with good body. You're beautiful. Many of the brothers are very good looking with biceps and triceps. But the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says it don't matter how strong you are. It don't matter how beautiful you are. It doesn't matter how handsome or good looking you are. All of us have an appointment with death. If you don't believe me, have you noticed that a lot of great men are dead and gone? Every time you turn around, another one is gone. I share with my congregation this morning that while I was in Washington with the choir, the Holy Spirit was reminding me this message. Because they took us inside the White House. You know, some people go to the White House and they stay outside. But we were privileged to go inside. Not just one portion. Room by room. What a privilege. But I noticed they have all these pictures on the walls of great men, great women. They will tell me and they say, you see that one? This is the president, so, so, so. He did this, he did that. But guess what? He did. They'll say, you see that woman, that's the first lady of so-so-so. She did that, she did that. I say, where she at? Dead. Then they took us to the Capitol building. They said, this is the man. They told us, God is my witness. They said, when you see the president go and make the State of the Union, they said, this is the very step that he will walk through. I say, I knew why I came. So I went up. Then I went down. Then I went up again. Because you just never know. They said, that's the same spot that every president have to walk through. Then they show us to another area. They kind of, I don't know the English, they tied some rope. I said, what's going on here? They said, in between that rope, whenever a big person died, this is where they put him to lie in wait. I didn't go in there. So, just keeping it real. They took me to another spot. They said, you see this little star on the ground? They said, George Washington was like God to them. I said, God? They said, that's the way they believe over there. I'm not the only one that heard it. They call him God. So they say, you see this spot here? This is where he requested them to bury him. Guess what I did? I went there. I stand on the star. Here come George Washington Jr. See, you got to enjoy what you do. See, don't blame me. They're the one that took me there. I was minding my own business. They took me to another place, Lincoln Memorial, and we got there. They said, this is the very spot that Dr. Martin Luther King stood when he made the most famous speech of his life, I Have a Dream. I say, here we go again. I stood in the same spot. I said, take the picture of my shoe, my feet on the same spot. I told Sister Tammy, I said, let me put some water so I can see his foot where make sure I'm in the right place. Because in my spirit, I saw myself as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the third, the second, the fourth, the fifth. I don't care where I fall in. I'm just glad to be in the place. What am I trying to tell you? Great men and women, they came, they made a difference, they are gone. Where is the king of rock and roll? Elvis Presley. He's dead. Where is the king of soul? James Brown. Say it loud. He dead. Where is the king of pop? Michael Jackson. So all of us here, our flesh, as good looking, as handsome, as beautiful you look, we are only here for a season. Am I telling the truth about it? That is why Jesus said, your soul is the real thing. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, he said, what shall it profit you and me if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? For me as a theologian, that's a serious statement, because Jesus, in essence, is saying your soul is worth much more than the whole world. That caught my attention. As a theologian, I said, man, I got to pay attention to this. What is it about the soul that is far outnumber, outweigh in value the whole world? Amazingly, when I began to study about the soul, I discovered just like your body have body parts, like you have your eye, your nose, your mouth, your body, the soul have body parts. I don't know why the body of Christ won't teach on something that is much more real. You go to churches now, they say, oh, we're going to have exercise program. We're going to have diet program. The focus is all about the flesh. What we should be majoring in, we ignore. And we are focusing on minor things. Ladies and gentlemen, what are the body parts of the soul? If you see a soul today, what does it look like? What does she look like? Some of the body parts of our soul is the conscience. Your physical body don't have conscience, but your soul does. When was the last time you fed your conscience? Some of the parts of our soul is the will. Your body don't have no will, but your soul does. Are you still here? It takes our soul to believe. Your kneecap don't believe nothing. Your nose don't believe nothing. But the soul has the ability to believe. The soul has values. There are things that you will not do. Sometimes you see a beautiful woman and you don't see her with no man. And you may be wondering, I wonder why nobody dating her. It's not that nobody is dating her. Her soul, she has standards. She won't go with any mess. The reason why many people are messed up today is because they listen more to their body than their soul. Are you still here? Ladies and gentlemen, your true personality is not in your physical body, it's in your soul. The soul even have motive. That is so critical. God don't look at your flesh. God judge the motives of your heart. You remember when God sent the preacher to the house of Jesse? There were more good-looking people in that house. But the good Lord passed all of them. The oil will not flow. Because God is looking for a soul with the right motive. How is your soul? Now we live in a world that anything goes. From Washington to Baton Rouge, people just do whatever they want to do. People shoot at people. And then they'll shoot, then they'll run. If you are really a bully that you say you are, why are you running? All kinds of legislation that is contrary to the word of God. You know what is missing? The soul is messed up. But the book say, what shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Please permit me to mention to you this morning, the reason why I'm talking about this is because I want you to reconnect with your soul. A person with a PhD with no soul is a walking beast. Yes, they say, oh, we have a right to have gun. We have a right this. We have this right. We have that right. But a person with a gun in his hand and have no soul, that's a time bomb waiting to explode. There are some things that is bigger than the Constitution. It's called the Word of God. What shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? I want to challenge every man, every woman this morning, reconnect with your soul. You sit down for almost an hour just to have a haircut. You sit down for almost 3 hours just to fix your hair. But we can't get you to talk to God for 10 minutes. What shall it profit a man or a woman if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? You can go to the movie house and sit down for 2 hours, 3 hours, watching a bunch of people shoot at each other. But we can't get you to come to the house of God just to lift up your head and say, Lord, I thank you for another day. It's a matter. You know what is so wrong with our society, brother pastor? Too many people, even people in the church, have sold their soul. Say, let me sell their soul to the devil. Preachers standing behind the pulpit, they sell their soul to the devil. Every now and then you ought to look at yourself and do like David and say, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, soul, we're going to bless the Lord. David, why are you blessing the Lord when you look all over your life and see what could have happened, what almost happened, what should have happened, and you are still here? You the soul, we're going to bless the Lord. See, sometimes you see people dancing in the church house. You think they're just trying to put on a show. But if you know their story, if you know where they have been, if you know how God delivered them, then you'll be shouting too. David said, Saul, I don't care how you feel today, we're going to bless the Lord. And he spoke to his soul. When was the last time you talked to your soul? When was the last time you have a conversation with your soul? David is saying to his soul, he said, you can sit down. Don't forget all the benefits. Who woke you up this morning? Who put food on your table? Who is it that put roof on your head? David says, so you can go to sleep now. He said, remember when we screwed up, he forgiveth all of our iniquities. He said, remember when we got sick in our body, he healed our body. He said, Saul, remember how he satisfied our mouth with good things. He said, Saul, remember our youth is renewed like an eagle. Bless the Lord. When you know what God has done for you, you can come to church and be quiet. It's because we have lost touch with our soul. Now, so we sit down, and the choir is singing, the praise worship is, people are singing. They say, I don't like that song. Oh, well, look at our shoe. Our shoe ain't right. Because we become so fleshy. But let me leave you with this thought. God is concerned about your soul. This is one area that I invest the time to study. I don't care how messed up I am. One thing that keeps me going, Pastor, is to know that I have a Father who cares. God loves your soul. I'm telling you, he does not wish for anybody to perish. You want to know, I know we call this Communion Sunday, and then we're going to receive the bread and the cup, but the only reason why he sent his only begotten son is because he cares for your soul. Because your soul will live forever. You're either going to be in hell or you're going to be in heaven. But you're going to be alive. You're going to be alive somewhere. That is why accepting Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior is not even optional. Why would you want to spend the rest of your life in hell? You say, Brother Pastor, how you know there's a hell? Well, look at the Word of God. I'm glad you asked. See, because my job as your pastor is not just to feed your spirit, man, but to help you to reconnect with your soul. The reason why Children, you send children to school and they're acting as bullies. They have lost touch with their soul. The reason why somebody would just blow another person's life off just like that and have no remorse. They have lost touch with their soul. And I pray this morning that you and I will reconnect with our soul. I pray this morning that if you're just wondering and you have not given your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will make that decision today. Because when it's all over, you will either spend eternity with God or you will spend eternity in hell. You say, brother pastor, what's the big deal about hell? I got to warn you, I got to school you. The devil is trying to control your soul. He wants to control your soul so that he can control your destiny. He wants to control your destiny so that he can control your future. He knows that if he can control your soul, he can send you straight to hell. Misery loves company. But I thank God for Jesus today. If you will repent of your sin and invite Jesus to come into your life, he will forgive you, he will save you, and you will be a free man today. The Bible says hell is full of sorrow. I don't know about you, I don't want to go there. If you don't believe me, let's just check it out. And I'll let you go. Psalms number 11, verse number 6. You know what the Bible says concerning hell? It says it's a place that is terrible. It's a terrible place. You don't want to gamble with that. You don't want to go through life not knowing if I die today. Some of my children were asking me, say, Daddy, what if something like that happens to you? I said, you know, children, one thing I'm doubly sure of, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You have to be sure and be very sure that you've been born again. What in hell do you want? You can play with eternity. You're going to be alive. It's just a matter of where. You know what the Bible says about the hell? Look at Psalms 18, verse number 5. It says it's a place of sorrow. Why would I want to go to a place full of sorrow? I wish I have time to talk to you more about hell. Matthew chapter 13, describing detail. Jesus was talking. He says it's a place of wailing. It's a place of weeping. It's a place of total darkness. Why would I, in my right mind, go to a place like that when all I have to do is just repent of my sin? You know you screwed up. I know I've screwed up. You can call me Reverend, Bishop, Assistant to the Pope, whatever you want to call me. It don't change the truth that I've screwed up. But I have to have enough sense to humble myself before God and say the things I used to do, I don't do them no more. The place I used to go, I'm going to ask every one of you to stand up. Somebody's going to make up their mind to do that which is right concerning your soul today. There are three categories of invitation. Number one, if you're here today and you like me, you just want for God to restore your soul. I've had to pray that many times. Pastor Jim, and David said in Psalms 23, verse 3, he restored my soul. God will restore you. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what you have done, where you've been. God is a God of another chance. Do I have a witness in the house? Some of you, you ain't done nothing wrong. You've done your best to live a Christian life, but deep down within you, you know you used to be on fire for God. But somewhere along the way, you begin to drift more towards the flesh and neglected your soul. I don't mind telling you. You know, my brother, I was a young man that I would spend 7 hours every day before God. I wasn't even pastoring any church. Just loved the Lord. 7 hours with God. I won't let my job get in the way. I won't let my spouse get in the way. I won't let anything get in the way. And oh, what a time just to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Then he blessed me. Then I got all this business. I got all this ministry. Now I can't even find 1 hour. You don't have to be doing terrible for your soul to need restoration. I could hear Pastor William, my God, speaking to me and say, son of man, I'm not intimidated by you having big ministry. You could do better than people you see on television. You are more anointed, you are more trained, you're more organized, but I don't, if this will get you away from me, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Having a child of 20,000 is a piece of cake. I've worked with the best of them. They consult with me from time to time. But what will it do you if you're so busy that you miss time with the Holy Ghost? Some of you now, you say you can't serve God because of your job. Some of you will say, well, no, I can't stay in church for 8 o'clock and 11. Oh, no, that's too much church. Some of you will say, well, I can't come to church every Sunday. I just come every now and then. But you expect God to bless you. You expect God to heal you when you're sick. Somebody this morning ought to say, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted much time. Pastor, I've got to a point now. I don't care. One denomination said, if you would just come to our camp, we'll put you on fast track. You'll become a bishop like that. You know what I told my son, Terrence? It don't matter to me anymore. I'd rather have Jesus than precious gold. What will it profit you? You're the man, you're the woman that God sent me to today. The reason why I humble myself to confess to you what I have to deal with, it's because I want you to know you're dealing with a real human being with flesh and blood. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, I miss my time with you. If you want to go back to what you used to be, intimacy with God. See, that's far more important than all these whistles and bells. I've wandered far away from God, Lord, I'm coming. Oh, the path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Oh, come by the house of love. Lord, I'm coming. Somebody else ought to come today. I've wasted many, many precious years. Lord, I'm coming. Substance. Isaac was rich in substance. Jacob was rich in substance. But when you get to the prodigal son, the Bible says he wasted his substance. I hear the Lord speak to me in the middle of the night. Young man, when you were nobody, I made you rule over much. When you had no name, when you had no relative, no spouse, no friend, I picked you up out of nothing. So don't get caught in all this glamour. Don't get distracted. The Bible said that prodigal son, one day he came to himself. Somebody needs to come to themselves today and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I don't care what anybody say. I'm going to live for you. I know how precious you've been to me. And it's waiting on you. Coming. Coming home. Coming. This morning, David said, create in me a clean heart. He said, renew the right spirit within me. He said, don't cast me away from that.
Shall we pray? Father, we come to say thank you. Thank you, God, for being a God of mercy, full of grace. Father, we thank you on this morning, God, that you're not like man. We treat you like you are like man. Thank you for your heart on today, Lord. Lord, we want